everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. My name is Matt, and I'm new at this, apparently, because I've already forgotten what I'm supposed to do. Hey, today we're talking about Disney and Fox and Infinity War and Runaways, and Thor Ragnarok is a movie that we've all seen, and it's amazing, and we're going to spoil it for you, so don't watch that part. But stay with us and watch all the other parts. Really bad at this. Just go.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... Here's Popcorn Talks.
It was pretty bad.
So Matt finally had a stroke on air. After 155 episodes.
It took 3 years, but...
We got to see what it looked like for a man to lose his mind in 30 seconds or less.
There you go.
And it happened.
Who am I? Where am I? What am I? Earth?
Earth? I like blue.
He's been in the astral plane too long.
Yes.
Which Earth? 616?
Snails are awesome. All right. Hey, everybody. Today, we are the Marvel Movie News. Today. As
just fire me.
Just get me out of here. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 155. Solid number. Coming to you live from Muspelheim.
Ooh.
How about that? Nice little fun little Thor cut.
A little Thor deep cut.
It works.
On our show, we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show on Twitter or social media, wherever you social media, Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
Hello, everybody. Yes, I will retweet you with my ant fingers.
I mean, hopefully he's got better than ant fingers because he won't be tweeting very fast.
It takes me all day.
My name is Matt Key at the Matt Key. We're joined, as always, by Markeia McCarty at MarkeiaMcCarty.
Were you about to put an S in there?
No.
Matt's LMD is just misprogrammed.
I know.
This is not the real Matt.
It's
not coming out. This is not the real Matt.
We're also joined by Koi Jandro at you're a
C-O-Y-J-A-N-D-R-E-A-U.
Yeah.
At Y-O-U-R-A-D-O-U.
And we have a special guest today. Mr. Master J. Washington.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. You can find me at Mr. J. Washington. That's MrJayWashington. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on.
This is about time.
Because we ran around in the Screen Junkies circles.
A lot.
We saw each other in the halls over there.
Yeah, me and her see each other a lot. Yeah. Me and you. Yeah. We keep running each other.
Schmoing down.
It's a small nerd world.
It is. We've also got Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer. And we've got associate producer Ollie Dreamer over here.
Hey guys, I'm going to be chatting in the chat with you guys. So if you're tuning in live, please give us your questions or comments. And this is the real Matt. It is not a Matt bot by Ultron. So don't worry.
Not buying it.
Yes. And also for chat room, still give us your Patreon ideas. Yes. And Ollie collects those for us.
I'm watching. I'm always watching.
Good work, Ollie. Good work. All right, you guys want to jump in?
Let's do it.
Are we jumping legit?
We're going to be talking Thor at the end, so no spoilers until then.
Yeah, so no spoilers until Thor, guys. So if you haven't seen Thor yet and you don't want spoilers, then just don't watch the last 20 minutes and, you know, go.
How do people avoid that? Like after the first weekend, it's like you can't.
Hell. Yeah,
you can't not avoid spoilers. Like somebody's gonna say it. You're gonna hear a random conversation. Like, so did you see how Hella walked away that way? Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. In real life, I couldn't avoid Stranger Things. But I went away to Boston. Stranger Things dropped, and I was like, real life everywhere.
Yeah, but it sounds like they're spoiling it in Boston.
It was
Game of Thrones for us. The Game of Thrones finale happened when we went to Burning Man. Yeah. Like for a week after, we're like.
You literally got to pull over your car, watch it in the car, and then that's the only way to go, guys.
So, anyway, speaking of spoilers, Disney is reportedly in talks of buying 21st Century Fox.
Yes.
Would you say you confirmed that talk, Matt? I'm just curious if after all these years, you have confirmations of talks.
Matt Key can confirm that talks probably have taken place. It is likely that talks have taken place. Other much... much better sourced.
Oh, it's a stroke. It's definitely sources. A stroke.
It's definitely a stroke. You know what? Let me just pull a string.
It's gotta be. There's no other way to explain this.
Battery shortage.
Stop using the Panasonics from Family Dollar.
Yeah, this is not working out.
Family Dollar.
Spend a little extra.
Get the Duracell.
Yeah, go to CVS. Get your Duracell, bro.
I mean, go to Best Buy at this point. We gotta get things going.
Okay. Look here. Everyone is excited about this. Everyone is. I've been away for like 3 days.
Marquis can't stop smiling.
He's so excited.
This might be the first episode I listen to, like, live on podcast, not video, so I can just hear, like,
it's like the Matt remix.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow, I'm remixing over here.
This is what LMDs look like in real life, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Disney's reporting on talks of buying 21st Century Fox. Here's what I think is going on. I had a talk with Steve Zaragoza in the hallways over at Geek & Sundry this morning, and he and I were discussing this. He and I both came to the conclusion that I don't think Fox is selling future productions. I don't think they're selling the whole studio. All the articles that I've read about it are they're in talks, but it always comes down to streaming. What I think is going on is that Disney wants the streaming rights to a lot of the Fox properties, probably mostly their television stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which I think would be disastrous for my Netflix viewing.
Yeah.
That's what Disney's trying to do. They want to grab everything, yeah, and then they're going to put it into whatever Disney Flix or whatever. Right.
And they have the resources and money to do it.
Exactly.
And I don't want that. Personally.
It's a monopoly. It's huge.
You know, I don't want to pay for
another streaming site.
Right. Yeah, I don't want Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom that much to have it, you know, affect my Netflix to have another viewing service.
Yeah.
Also, and this is me. You know me. Yeah. I already planned out the, you know, Dark Panther.
How dare you?
What just? What that is.
I'm glad we're over here because I would have never thought in my life I'd have heard you say Dark Panther.
Dark Panther.
I felt very coherent.
Planned out like the Black Panther trilogy, where the second one's going to be Namor, and the third one has to be Doom Wars with him and Shuri type of thing. So you get Necropolis action in the second one, some Illuminati, and then you hit them with Doom Wars. And then that nuclear option, which I'm not going to spoil, but you need to read Doom Wars for the third one. But you have to have Dr. Doom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him that bad to have this happen now.
My main thought was that we'd never, and it's hard to even think about getting Fight Club now, but we'd never get movies like Fight Club at a Disney. And I know Miramax exists, guys. I know Kevin Smith. I know Pulp Fiction. I know those things happened, but that was in the 90s. In the 2000s, we got like Lone Ranger.
Here's why I have to slightly disagree with that, because a lot of people have said that. Remember, Marvel is its own offshoot, and the Netflix series basically said enough.
Mm-hmm.
How Daredevil is rated R, Punisher is a hard R.
Yeah.
So the potential is there if it's allowed to be just Marvel and not considered a Disney film. Because everybody's worried about if they do bring them over, what happens to Deadpool, what happens to, you know, X-Force and New Mutants, things like that. Do they lose their R rating? If it stays under the Marvel banner, it's probably good.
Well, I feel like Logan made enough money and Deadpool made enough money that I'm not worried about the comic properties. Mm. I'm worried about the mid-range budget, over $20 million, under $80 million R-rated, like, indie films.
Okay.
Like, not indie in the technical sense, but indie in the fact that it's not a franchise. I'm not worried about franchises. I'm worried about original concepts. And, like, I'm worried that Disney won't take the risks that Fox had in the past, because even Fox isn't taking those risks anymore. So, like, this mid-2017 flavor of television and movies is very, like, franchises work, sequels work, don't take big risk, and that's why we have Annapurna and A24 and all these indie labels. I'm afraid if we have a bigger monopoly, then it's going to be indies against, it's going to be like Jack and Giant Slayer. Like, we're not going to have any middle ground, and that's the more these conglomerates form, the less we have independent film, and that scares the shit out of me.
I'm worried about monopoly,
right?
So that's basically,
but I'm stoked for Destiny 4.
I totally agree with the fear of a monopoly, but I really do think that the future of entertainment is in streaming, which is why studios so much are dying for original IPs that they can just pour tons and tons of cash into.
Right.
Because the only reason to go to a theater now is for spectacle, because you can't get spectacle at home. You can literally get everything else at home. So independent cinema is going to be streaming now. Like, you're not going to go to a theater to watch independent cinema. That's going to be on Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go, or Disney Flix, whatever they end up calling it.
Right.
And I don't think Disney even cares about their streaming service being family friendly. If they did, they wouldn't be looking at Fox. They just want a streaming service that they control all the IPs
Netflix
for.
And Hulu.
And with that, if they buy all of, if they're like, hey, Fox, give us all of your TV properties, they don't even have to air it. It's just not competition.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the other piece of
it. Can you imagine them owning The Simpsons?
Yeah, but that's exactly what would happen.
That's the biggest thing. Disney owns The Simpsons. That's the potential that can happen. What is it, 27 years?
Yeah, they'd own the X-Files.
They would own the
X-Files.
Their biggest shows that Fox has, Disney would own them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is, to an extent, a scary thought.
Yeah,
it's a little bit terrible.
It's like you said, it is the monopoly, but we all look, I guess because we look at it in the grand scheme, but for those of us, the comic book fans that love the movies and everything, we're looking like, oh, man, this means Avengers 4 can be just phenomenal. We can get finally a good Fantastic Four movie, mm-hmm. a real Doctor Doom, because God knows if I see another Doctor Doom looking like it was drawn by an 8-year-old, I'm going to lose my mind. But
at what cost?
Yes.
I'm agreeing. Like, I'm thinking Marquis might put your names together. The Matt today.
Yeah, sorry.
I agree with what you're saying, that like 5 movies isn't worth 50. Like,
yeah.
5 good comic movies is all I'm, like, optimism, but, like, then the other 80% of me is like, but what about movies?
Yeah, yeah. So what about this? So
while we're on Marvel movie news, yay! While we're on any other part of our lives.
Oh, I wonder.
Yeah.
So I just want to be balanced about that. Excitement.
All that being said,
I don't think it's happening all the way.
I don't think it's going to happen all the way. But all that being said, if Disney did buy Fox, and it did actually include, like, getting, like, Donner Pictures and, like, mm-hmm. all their rights mm-hmm. to the X-Men and all that, that'd be cool.
And it'd be interesting because Lauren Shuler Donner and like Richard Donner and all that'd be one Donner conglomerate. Mm-hmm. And I loved the Lethal Weapon movies, but the idea of all that being one thing kind of makes me nervous because that would just mean they'd have
same.
They're already fighting with AMC theaters. They're already fighting for more money with like Lucasfilm's already fighting for more money with their Star Wars. Like they'd have all the power, and then what would the people have? So that's concerning.
Yeah, and that would be Disney, Warner Brothers, and Sony.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Like, and that, those are the big three distributors that, like, if the Disney purchase goes that far. Oh, yeah, I guess there's Paramount, but still, like.
Most of the Marvel films are through Paramount anyway.
Used to be. Right. That was the original.
Before Disney.
And that's like, Paramount's like, we're here.
I mean, there has to be some antitrust issues involved in all of this. There really does.
I think that's because
it's too big.
But I think that's why they're not buying Fox directly.
Yeah. Right.
It's just the entertainment and the all the entertainment portion.
Yeah, but who wants Fox News?
Or Fox Sports.
No, but Fox News and Sports aren't
I know, they're not part of
the
They're not part of it. That's the thing.
How funny is this? For 2 years, we've been like praying for even this conversation, and now we're all like, but now that it's kind of real,
it's like, oh,
what if we all die?
No, but
I don't want to see Sean Hannity and Disneyland. Tell me something. I'm here with Captain America. No!
This is Bill O'Reilly live from the front of the, what is that going to do?
So, I just want them to give us Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom. Like, it's a present. I just want them to do that.
A peace offering.
That's never going to happen. But I just want them to do that.
Yeah. Well, and all of our hopes and dreams have never been, boy, I really hope Disney buys another studio. Yeah. It's always been, I hope Disney gets the rights back to X-Men and Fantastic Four. That would be awesome. But now that it's like, we could get the rights back by buying the entire studio and their entire library and taking them over and absorbing them through the cellular process of phagocytosis. And it's like, what?
Juice not worth squeeze. Juice not worth squeeze.
Yeah. Dude, how do you like it now, nerds? No. We don't!
We shot an X-Men movie in 5 weeks.
We didn't even leave the studio lot to shoot this.
All right, let's move on.
Yes.
What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
Rocket and Hulk. Let's talk Infinity War. Sorry, I read the sub-headline before I announced the title. I have forgotten how to topic. Infinity War. It's an Avengers movie coming out next year, if you've never heard of it. Rocket and Hulk are going to become friends in that movie. An interview with USA Today, Mark Ruffalo said of the Rocket Raccoon, it's a very funny relationship that the two of them have. First of all, it's the biggest superhero and the smallest. Just keeping them in frame together is a feat and hilarious in itself.
I just want to see the both of them in frame and Rocket just staring up at Hulk like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa.
And I want to see Hulk just like,
what are you? What?
You a raccoon.
You're puny. You're,
puny raccoon.
Puny raccoon. And with teenage Groot somewhere like, I am Groot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. That's going to be super funny. I'm personally excited about that. I wanted to keep it up at the top because I wanted to point out Rocket Raccoon was created by Bill Mantlow. Bill Mantlow created the character initially called Rocky Raccoon in a comic book called Marvel preview, and I believe it was at number 7, and it was a black and white comic. This is like late 70s. Didn't pick up, didn't go anywhere. Then Bill Mantlo takes over The Incredible Hulk, and he becomes the primary writer on The Incredible Hulk for like 4 or 5 years. Mm. And he brings Rocket Raccoon into Hulk 271. So Rocket and Hulk have a history in the comics.
That is cool.
Okay.
So and cool. Hulk 271 yeah. is considered Rocket's first in main Marvel continuity appearance. Because the other appearance was, here's a fun character. Do you like him, kids? All right. Yeah. Like, but he wasn't Rocky. In continuity. He was a whole other publishing line. He was in the black and light. Black and white. It was a magazine format, so it wasn't an actual comic book. Hulk 271 is Rocket's actual first appearance. And Hulk ends up somewhere in outer space. I can't remember how, because it's been a while since I read it. But I just love the fact that they're, like, putting... Like, it's such a it's nice like a little fun Easter little... Egg. Yeah, it's a pre-Easter egg to me. And when I saw that news, I was like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yes. Good on you, Marvel. You read your comics.
You did it.
You did it. You read your own comics. Yeah, so...
I like that. I like
you wanted to keep something canon just a little bit.
Just a little, just little, taste. A little bit.
Yeah, it's just a nice little thing. And I think Hulk ended up on, like... Half World, which is where Rocket Raccoon is from, and he helped Rocket and Rocket's best friend Walrus, who
good God
surprise
is a walrus,
oh. with like techno organic sort of tusks.
Guardians 3, I want to see techno organic tusks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see come on James Gunn. I want to see who they cast for Walrus.
Yeah,
like I want to know if
Nick
I,
Offerman.
I promise.
Oh
you.
Oh my God. Coycast. Hashtag Coycast.
Mr. Coycast. Nick Offerman is Walrus.
Oh my God. That's
techno
the
organic
best.
Ron Swanson all day, all night. That's
yes.
The bring me that.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah, so that got me excited. Hopefully, in a future Guardians, we get Lila, the otter girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, you just want all of the Animal Kingdom.
Oh, my God. I do. I
His marriage
love...
is making more and more sense. I know. Okay, I can see the Brit key aspect.
The Brit key, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on before you guys make fun of me some more. still talking about Avengers Infinity War, and you and I were kind of talking about this a little bit before. An interview with CNET, the Russos were asked about characters we'll see in Infinity War, and Joe Russo teased this quote. You ready? There's.
I'm just gonna take that. I'm taking that pen away.
There's gonna be a lot of unexpected characters in the movie. There are more surprises packed into this film than any of the others. Part of that is character interactions, new interesting characters, characters that have made small appearances that are really getting fleshed out in this film. A lot of people enjoy the experience, so I don't want to give anything away, but certainly you can expect lots of surprises.
I already know what that means.
Yeah, I think we all take it, Jack.
You're getting the Defenders. They're going to pop up in it. You're getting the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they've also said some characters are coming back from the dead. Coulson is dead in the film sense. You're getting the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's a good call.
You know, so you're getting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You're going to get the Defenders. Who else they throwing in? What other properties are available for them to use right now?
I say that they're going to throw in all of these appearances because cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be throwing everything and everybody at Thanos. Mm-hmm. None of it will work. Everyone will die.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say a lot of people are supposed to. So
I mean, they have to. I mean, Thanos is supposed to be this all. They killed the warrior. I will spoiler for later. I didn't say it. I got close. So things happen in movies already, and like I think Black Panther is going to have some of the same with escalation. And I think by the time we get to Infinity War, it's going to be like, well, how do we show he's more powerful than these? So people got to die,
dude. I honestly, and this is like, if you haven't read Infinity Gauntlet or Infinity War, then spoiler, I guess, but it's been out since 91, so that's on you, I guess. Marvel fan who hasn't read a seminal Marvel work. Did I just insult like our audience?
I'm a
terrible
person. I'm
going to give you
your pen back. Because that was a pretentious way to say that. The LMD is just so harsh and hot. Back out. Oh my God.
Weird move.
Aunt Anthony, am I fired?
Keep going.
Okay.
Fight through.
In that comic, like it essentially comes down to like a lot of people have died or been depowered or something like that, and it's not until the very, 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 very end that they win by getting the glove away from him. But I really think in this movie they're going to kill everyone. I think everyone by the end of this movie is going to be dead, but one person. Like, maybe, like, Nebula or something like that, because that's what happened in the comics.
Yeah.
One person will get the glove or the glove, the gauntlet.
And rewrite history.
Rewrite it all.
Something to do with the reality set. Mm-hmm. And chances are it has to be Nebula because we don't have Warlock. We don't have Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. You know, who else would we have?
Can you imagine Nebula? If the universe just ends and then when it comes back, the Fox deal had happened? So the whole new Marvel universe is just every character ever.
I'm trapped like with 22.
If the real life timing lines up with a 22 movie adventure, if 22 movies led up in real life to a merger that wakes us up in a universe where everyone's dead but we're back and we got the X-Men. Can you imagine?
Dude,
then that means that Black Panther would have Storm.
Right. And he'd have Namor for sure.
And that's why you want that merger for that.
No, it's not enough to have it.
But can you imagine? What if they're like, okay, not $20 billion for the whole thing. Maybe here's a billion just for our characters back.
Just for these particular characters.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
The timing's great. I'm just saying if it does happen.
No, the timing's absolutely there. And like, there have been rumors of talks for years.
Right.
I started one of those rumors accidentally. I didn't mean to. He did not confirm. No.
I just love the timing.
But that was one of the first things I thought of. I was like, well, in like 2 years, we're going to have a new face starting up.
Mm-hmm. Like, what better way?
Mm-hmm. What better way? Like, there have been teases of this in the past, like rumors of this. Like,
yeah.
And like, I guess we've had a pretty good run with Netflix as it was.
Yeah. Goodbye, Netflix.
They disappointed everybody with Civil War. Remember, there was like, somebody big is going to die in Civil War. It was Peggy Carter, and you were like,
I hate to see her go, but she was really old.
She was 80-something, and she's here? Like,
yeah, I guess it's different when it's natural cause.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it was like
you know. But,
Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
Frozen
keep going.
Back, and that makes sense. Yeah. He was frozen for a long time.
I mean, it isn't like paralyzing Spider-Man or having Iron Man be crushed by Thanos' fist kind of a thing, because they're in their prime.
Yeah,
I just want to see Iron Man get crushed and just scream out Pepper. And then Pepper just, don't awe me. Because you got to see something. Look, we can get all the spectacle and explosions. Something gruesome. Somebody has to get stepped on or something.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I think they're probably going to kill off everybody. Someone's going to get the glove at the end. And then, boom. Avengers 4 is Secret Wars. And they all go to Battle World. And they fight their battle in a whole other reality. To keep our actual reality safe.
Yes. They've actually been saying, I've actually talked to people, Avengers 4 is Secret Wars. They are doing the Skrulls.
They're
bringing them in to reset.
Well, Captain Marvel's got Skrulls.
It makes sense.
Like, it's right there, and it's right before 4, and the timing lines up, so when they recast everyone, inevitably, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, New Warriors. Let's talk New Warriors real quick, guys. It's not going to be on Freeform. Don't really know what happened there, except that, according to the Hollywood Reporter, it's not going to have the half hour comedy anymore. So here's the good news. According to reports, the pilot tested through the roof. Execs are excited about it. But Freeform, for whatever reason, couldn't find a slot for it in 2018, which I kind of doesn't make sense. If it tested really well, why wouldn't you move other things out of the way?
Cloak and Dagger has to be the prime focus.
I mean, I guess, but I don't understand that. Like, Cloak and Dagger looks great, but like... Mm-hmm.
But they're very different.
I've never heard of that excuse in my life. Yeah, I've never heard, we couldn't find...
And it's, again, it's a Disney channel. Freeform is formerly ABC Family, which is owned by Disney. Yeah. So it's like...
If you can't find room for one of your own properties, what's going on? So, like, I actually wonder, like, if they got into production, got it working... Realize that the show should go a different direction.
Totally different.
Comedy wise doesn't fit on Freeform.
Yeah, because they're apparently now looking to like Hulu and stuff like that because the relationship that they have with them through the Runaways has been pretty good. You know,
and Runaways looks great.
Runaways looks amazing.
I'm looking forward to that.
Do you guys think the it'll premiere on like the Disney streaming service?
They have talked about that. Yeah,
Jay Tesla in the chat brought that up.
I mean, that would be an interesting choice to hold on to a couple of things and then have that kind of like what CBS did with Star Trek Discovery, which I haven't seen past the first episode because I don't have CBS's streaming service.
It's going to get tricky. I think the further we go into the future and the further we go into cutting the cord from cable, we're going to have more streaming services that we have to pay for. And all of a sudden, we're going to be paying the $80 we used to for cable because we're paying for $8, $10 services.
Yep. Never.
I'm afraid.
Markia confirms, never.
Kia confirms.
I think it's coming. I will never.
A lot of pilots.
I will share with other people first. I will share the people
Yeah. He has seen 10 pilots and no second episode. She just watches lots of free and like, that was good.
Look, there are only 7 people in the world that actually have a Netflix account. Yeah. 90 million users. Yeah. Only 7 people have an account.
So the quote that we have from President of Marvel Entertainment, Dan Buckley, is, "We are extremely excited about Marvel's New Warriors and look forward to finding the perfect partner to launch the series." I think the key there is finding the perfect partner, because I think the perfect partner at the beginning was Freeform. It no longer is, because I think probably the tone of the series changed once they kind of got in the room. And
but I thought New Warriors was always set to be a comedy.
It was. Yeah. It was, but it maybe it's
darker or edgier.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe it's bigger than what they originally filmed it as. Okay. You know?
Like, yeah, it could be a budgetary issue. Like, if they invested, they were like, we'll do $100 million for the pilot, then $50 million for each episode. And then they filmed it, and they're like, we're going to need more. Yeah. Because, like, remember how her
Her tail alone looks half the budget or something.
What if we shave her all-powerful hair to save money? Oh, wait, let's not do that. Let's find a network that can pay for it.
The shade of
this
episode. The shade, y'all.
Just saying.
Yeah, I'm personally very excited to see it. I love the New Warriors. I love all the characters in there. Like Speedball, Squirrel Girl, like Mr. Immortal. Mm-hmm. I love all of them. I'm really excited to see where they land. But I do think that it's probably going to be something like Hulu or the new Disney streaming service, like you said. Like,
it's a shame that they couldn't move Cloak and Dagger to Hulu, because The Runaways is on Hulu. So how are they going to? They can't possibly cross over.
Well, they did in the comics.
They did in the comics.
Yeah, exactly. But could they do that with one being on Hulu and one being on Freeform? Could they? Is that at all possible?
I mean, it's possible. Okay. I mean, they.
That'd be nice. That's why I would like.
They kind of did it on CW with Constantine and Arrow, but like, I mean, Constantine was already off the air at that point, so I don't know if that.
And now they're trying to bring him back, but that's another story.
Yeah. And that's an animated series.
And they're going their streaming site. So
yeah.
And CW then they could always do something like have a common enemy that could, you know, go to each one. Like, oh God, what? Were those bunch of guys? It's like Bulldozer and
the Wrecking Crew. Yeah.
Like the Wrecking Crew. I mean, that could exist in both.
Yeah,
just put Wilson Fisk on everything.
Now, right?
Put Vincent D'Onofrio on every show and just let him do that.
Game.
I would be for that. Just see Vincent D'Onofrio everywhere.
Well, let's talk Runaways. That was a good segue. Ollie Dreamer.
Thank you. Because I just think it'd be nice to see Cloak and Dagger on Runaways.
I agree. So the Runaways producer reveals that the show adds more stories from Brian K. Vaughan, who is the creator of Runaways. So I think this is really cool. So Brian K. Vaughan, I'm just going to read you the quote from Jeff Loeb. Because the story Brian likes to tell is the reason why the comic moves so quickly was because he thought he was getting canceled every month. So as Brian K. Vaughan was writing Runaways, he was constantly worried, oh my God, this might be my last one. I want to cram as much of the story into each issue as I can. And he kept not getting canceled. So he said, and so a lot of the things he wanted to do with the story, in particular to tell the story from the point of view of the parents, was not something he'd ever been able to do. Being able to see it in this medium and being able to see it with this extraordinary cast, for him, it's also been sort of an exciting thing to do. So one of the original things he wanted to do in the comics was tell part of the story from the perspective of the parents and show, like, they are kind of doing this for their kids. Like, yeah, they're evil. Like, they're doing awful, evil things, but they're still also humans who have human wants and needs and fears that they're trying to take care of for their kids.
Yeah, and think about it. If they don't deal with the Gaborim, some other really bad people might deal with the Gaborim. So therefore, you know, taking it from that perspective.
Yeah.
You're like, at least we're responsible adults that are, you know, funneling this in the right way. And so what if we have to, you know, sacrifice a couple of innocent souls?
Yeah.
You know, it's all the bigger picture.
What's a soul or two? You know, yeah. like I said, Marquia, the bigger picture.
Yeah,
the
we need those picture. 6 tickets to heaven. You know, our children have got 6
tickets to heaven.
And I think it's great that we have a medium that we can tell bigger stories in. Like, TV allowing us more than 2 hours gives the original creator the ability to tell a story he wanted to tell. It's great. Like, the fact that...
I think that's cool.
When you build off of your source and make it better, not just, like, find 30 stories to put in one movie, you can expand, like Lethal Weapon does on TV on Fox. It expands from the original source.
One of your favorite.
Fast and the Furious do that, too?
Oh, it expands with every movie. But I like the idea that you can have the original writer so involved that you can actually make your original source material better retroactively. Like, you can go back and read the comic and see where you would have planted those seeds.
Because it's all about family.
It's all about family.
Well, still talking about Runaways reviews for the series, which comes out November 22nd, so the week of like the what is that, the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Thanksgiving week,
and we'll get three episodes to be able whoa. To binge on that Tuesday. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
no idea three about the rest, episodes. But we get three to start with.
Oh yeah.
Marvel basically said we're gonna own November.
Yeah, Marvel's just like we're gonna drop Thor, give it a couple weeks, drop Punisher, yeah. Give it a week, drop Runaways,
and then Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas, Merry everyone.
Christmas. Merry Christmas,
everyone. Yeah, Merry Christmas, buy our products. So the reviews are in. Read just a couple of them real quick here. Forbes said, Runaways is young adult television. Fantastical is to be expected, but the weirdness of this show is next level for Marvel, and it's pretty fun. The series' greatest strength comes from its soap opera relationships. All these kids are phenomenal. If you're coming to Runaways hoping for the OC with superpowers, you will be pleased. I mean, that's essentially what we all thought it was. Yeah. It's Josh Schwartz. Of course it is that, you know?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. We haven't really had it lately, so yeah. You know, I mean, there was Heroes, but that was completely different tone.
Yeah. Nerdist said it works to set up relationships that fans know and love from the comics, with Gert and Chase getting to spend some quality time together whilst accidentally discovering Old Lace, the dinosaur. Nico and Carolina's budding relationship gets off to a sweet start, while Molly's so possible spoiler with this kind of quote, but like we all kind of saw it coming, right. But it's while Molly's not mutant powers are truly a sight to behold as Allegra Acosta steals the show anytime she begins to get sad or mad. So they go on to say, James Marsters, Victor Stein looks to be the show's big bad, and we're seriously interested to see just how far the writers are willing to stray from the source material to make that happen. So, but as we now know, they're not straying from the source material. Brian K. Vaughan just didn't get to tell that part of the story. So, anyway, there's more reviews. You can go look those up. But we've got to move on let's just move on to the next stuff. Let's move on to Avengers 4. And there's a flashback, some pictures there. Let's see.
Yeah. For iTunes viewers, it's an older Thor picture.
Yeah,
like that's the original Thor.
His and the original, mane, the Black Sabbath shirt on Tony Stark, and the luscious mane on.
And the original Thor outfit from Asgard, the original outfit he wore.
Yeah, so it looks like maybe they're doing like, what time is that, stone. Avengers or Age of Ultron flashback? Oh man, maybe
definitely time stone. Time stone. It's gotta be time stone.
It's like super classic there though.
Yeah, there's no way it's not the time zone, right? Like that's
what if.
But shout out to the wig they gave
Chris
Hemsworth in this picture though.
What if? Everyone dies. The person who gets the gauntlet just goes back in time and pulls people out of time and goes to Secret War, like goes to Battle World
and
for
tries
Secret
to go
Wars.
Back and doesn't get back to our time. Gets back to Secret Wars. That way, you don't have to do the Beyonder necessarily. You just use the time stone. And we gotta go back. Oh no, we're not in the right place. But look at his hair.
Yeah. No, but I think that what if they pulled they're like, you know what? The universe ends in a year anyway, so let's go back in time and get old school. Food.
Hang
let's
out
go
when
back
things
and
were
get,
great.
Wow. Yeah, and pull them all to Secret Wars to fight Thanos because everyone else is dead.
Or they go back retroactively to find out who is a Skrull.
Ooh.
Right?
I like
that. What better way to know than to go back to the beginning? Because Scarlet Witch is not... I mean, Scarlet Witch is one of the riskier ones, but I think even more than Scarlet Witch, Black Widow is not Black Widow. Because at the end of Winter Soldier, she said she was going underground, and then she was in the next movie with different hair and acting differently.
Yeah.
Black Widow's a Skrull.
That's guaranteed.
So they go back in time and find out.
Yeah. Whoa. I think Nick Fury. I mean,
I think Nick knows everything. I think he just knows. I don't think he's a Skrull. I think he just knows. He's been privy to the Skrulls.
The Skrulls since the early 90s.
Yeah.
He's known about the Skrulls for 15 years before Iron Man comes around, yeah.
Because that's when he knows about Captain Marvel.
And that would explain why he starts up the Avengers Initiative.
He's already started, yep.
Oh, yeah, man. We are
all here.
Knowledge, guys.
We are all here.
Watch this episode in 2 years. Yeah. Tell us how right
they said
we
it
were.
All. He said everything.
Use the time stone that is YouTube and watch this episode in 2 years.
But we can all be so assured that the only person that's definitely not one, Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner's been through too much.
He's been through too much.
Way too stressed to not reveal that secret, that poor guy.
way too much. Also, going back to what Time Stone stuff, so the Avengers are filming in Atlanta. They did a charity show of Old Town, and Frank Grillo and Maximiliano Hernandez were both there. And those are two dead characters from previous movies. So Maximiliano played Jasper Sitwell. And Frank Grillo, we all know, played Crossbones.
Yeah,
so.
he exploded himself.
Look at that cast, man. That's awesome. That's such a cool way to raise money. So cool. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe there's some Time Stone hijinks going on.
I think it makes sense. I think it's a fun narrative to do. Yeah. And if you want to have cameos, what better way than, like, we got dead people, too!
Yeah.
Like,
what?
We can put everybody in here. Also, Coulson.
Yeah, Coulson's coming back, man. You're right. Coulson's coming back. You're right. They're going to find a way.
Can you imagine what Thor would be like then if he saw Coulson? Be like, I grieve for you. Yes. I mourn
for you. I drank of the highest ale several times and the strongest pitcher for you, and yet you live. What type of shenanigans is this on this world?
It'd be interesting if they do, since Thor's changed so much, because like his arc is such a big one, and Tony Stark's, if they go back and meet their past selves and they're like, ooh, kind of a douche-er Thor.
Douche-Thor.
Douche-Thor.
All right, well, talking about douches, let's talk Venom. Hey-o! Just kidding, that's not a good segue at all. That's not true. So we have our first pictures from the set of Venom, as far as I remember, or no. And it doesn't tell us anything.
It's Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy in his room.
Black shirt. Confirmed.
Yeah, he's just sitting on a bed.
And jeans. It is jeans.
And jeans. There's another pair of yellow shoes next to him. Like some.
This is him just. Sneakers. This ain't even a movie. This is him just chilling. He's just chilling.
When I first saw this, I literally thought that was his trailer.
This is his trailer, right?
Like, that looks like. I've been in honey wagons like that.
Yes, this was his trailer.
That is his trailer.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
That's so
I thought it was a still because everybody's like, first photos.
Oh,
and I was like,
not
no, this is his trailer.
I could have sworn that was his. I thought it was his trailer.
Because that's definitely honey wagon boarding in the back.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's his trailer straight up. I've been in a honey wagon like that. That's just a trailer. Okay, cool.
I mean, Tom Hardy's in it. He's the star of the show. Of course he's got a nice honey wagon.
Well, yeah. Okay. I thought this was like being touted as a still, and I was like, that's weird.
He took a real nice picture
in his trailer.
It's just Tom Hardy in his trailer.
Just Tom Hardy. Because there's another picture that came out. It's just him on his phone and sitting on the garbage can between shoots. It's just him like this.
Just him like laughing.
Yeah. They're like, oh my God, it's exclusive photos of him doing what?
Yeah. On one hand, I was like, is it Eddie Brock in like a double wide? But it's like, no. It's just a trailer.
Yeah.
I know they're shooting. I'm excited they're shooting. He gained some weight back. I'm in. The cast is great.
So,
Tom Hardy's
since I know you've memorized Tom Hardy's body.
Yes. I actually have a very funny story about that.
Yeah, since I know you've memorized every inch of Tom Hardy's body, are those his actual tattoos or are those...
Correct. Every single one. And they covered up some in his forearm.
Okay. That was Mike. I didn't know if like does Eddie Brock have tattoos?
Not generally, because Todd McFarlane drew so stylized the pencil work wouldn't have worked for the tattoos.
That's
what
I was like, I don't remember it, but maybe they're doing something with that, like the symbiotes are like in the tattoos or whatever.
All of my creeperness just confirmed. No, some of those tattoos are. I was at the bookstore down the street, and there was a book on like physiology and like working out, and there was a picture of Tom Hardy on the cover, but it was like hanging out halfway. It was just Tom Hardy's like lower stomach, and I was like, oh, Tom Hardy. And then, like, a friend heard me, and they pulled the book out, and it was literally, like, two of his abs, and I called it, and I was like, oh, good God.
So you got to really reevaluate it. Like, how do you know his abs?
So Matt's right, and I'm terrified that's on air now. So
guess what?
We're live. We can
use this time stone called YouTube to go back to this consistently.
Yeah, Coy, I have to admit, I'm both impressed and disturbed at the same time.
The man's got my birthday. We were MySpace friends. I love Tom Hardy.
You know what? I'm going to slide on over.
Are you sure you want to slide over here? Because this side is flubbing their words.
Yeah. Well, not you. You've gotten better.
Yeah, I have.
You inoculated yourself against
Dark
me.
Panther. Yeah.
Wow.
The Dark Panther. Yeah. Okay. It sounds like a series on NBC.
All the properties that I could flub.
Yeah. It's okay. There's no Deadpool news today, so it's fine.
That's like me saying Doctor Strange is Corporate Strange. It's like, oh, Corporal Strange. That's not the name. He's not even in the military.
Doctor Strange, you mean Doctor Weird? Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's not the name. Physician Strange, MD. All right. All right, everybody. Giant spoiler alert.
Going in.
We love you. If you don't want spoilers, we invite you to not watch this part. Because we don't want to ruin anything for you. Because we're about to talk Thor Ragnarok, and we're going to go full spoilers.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
We're going to have a good conversation. If you want to hear more of this, come back to us. It's okay. We'll still be here. This will live in perpetuity on Wi-Fi and the internets and in servers all around the world.
Only on Wi-Fi.
No dial-up.
Only in Bluetooth.
You got if you DSL got connection, you out of luck.
So, I want to start the conversation off by saying Thor Ragnarok in the international box office as of us putting this together last night was $151.4 million.
That's just a nice weekend.
It's a good weekend. I think in total, it's already up to 400 million worldwide.
It's over? Like 470.
Yeah.
It's almost five. It's almost half a billion dollars.
In less than 7 days.
Well, no, it's 2 weeks. Because yeah,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks,
sorry. But in less than a month, half a billion dollars.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you imagine the trailer from when the Punisher drops that Marvel says, "Hey, look, we know you're watching the Punisher. But I'm gonna see Thor again. We just need you.
Go see Thor again. It's cool.
Comedy's got that rewatch. Come back, see it again. You missed some jokes. Laughing over the last one. I've really seen it twice.
I've seen it twice. You've seen it.
I've seen it three times.
Yep. In every format.
Yes.
She's a bigger fan than I am.
2D, IMAX, and 3D.
What was the best?
IMAX.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
It was.
Yeah.
I should go see it in IMAX.
Was it IMAX 3D or IMAX 2D?
It was IMAX 2D.
Yeah.
Well, with the 3D that I saw it real 3D. So it was like a lounge, you know, kind of a thing situation. Mm-hmm. So it was extremely comfortable. So I enjoyed it, but not as much as like the whole panoramic.
Immersive.
IMAX.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into it. I've got listed there kind of in order as much as I remembered from the film. What, like, initial thoughts? Like, what did you guys think? What were some of your favorite moments? What worked for you? What didn't? Just all of that.
Favorite moments.
As a stand-up comic, comedy worked for me. I apologize for cutting you off.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the introduction of Valkyrie for this.
Oh,
because,
my God, yes.
Because she was, Scrapper 142. Because she was drunk. She was drunk off her butt, falling off of her spaceship, killing random people. I'm like, oh, my God, who is this person?
This one is mine.
Yeah, it's like, and then he's trying to reason with her. She just throws an electronic disc on him and like shocks him to crap, and then just drags him on the ship like he's garbage. And I was all about it.
Oh, so on board, with her character from the moment she showed up, and that whole thing where she comes down, falls off. You're not expecting her to fall off. You're like, all right, she's been drinking. Then she falls off the ship. And it's like, well, this is not a very impressive first showing for this young lady. And then she tries to get up. Arm goes through the beast that's there. It's like, oh my God, this poor woman is having not a great day. And then she comes forward and she has no weapons on her. No weapons. All she's got is the ship behind her. And then she does this. And then, and here's where I knew that I was the world's biggest Tessa Thompson fan. In a second, it happened. Where I was like, I'm in love now. The smirk on her face when she and gets it to work, and she has that. Here we go, and she's like, "You just murdered
dozens,
like
everyone.
Dozens of people, and you did it with a, all right, f y'all, we're done. Can we go now? Thanks, like."
I think the relationships worked for me better than a lot of the movies because you felt that, especially with the 80% improv thing, I really felt that these actors knowing each other for 17 movies really showed. Like, I love the relationship with Ruffalo and Hemsworth. I love that you could tell they were like the bromance there, plus the Loki relationship, as always, is a highlight of that character.
Yeah.
And I really think the Doctor Strange scene,
oh my God,
it was so Doctor Strange that the gloves, and we saw that in that little post credit scene.
Sure.
But to see it fully fleshed out and the use of the umbrella, like to throw back to the 80s reference and the hammer, it just felt like Thor in a way that I didn't know we'd get with the comedy. Like the trailers are like, oh, that's funny, but I was like, but will it be Thor? And I think my negative is also the same thing though, is that some of the times I wanted more gravitas. I wanted more, for example, when they're about to fight Hela and they do the that Loki has a joke, it felt like it deflated the moment a little for me.
I'm not gonna do Get Help.
Like Get Help's hilarious earlier, but when you throw back to Get Help, oh good, it's a callback, but at the same time it's also like, yo, that's supposed to be a moment. So some of the times the comedy get in my way, overall hilarious, but there was a couple times I was like, when Age of Ultron, when he gets on the ship and he like throws the Mega Ultron out and he's like, are you serious? I was like, that joke didn't really it was that much. Moment, and that happened like three times, but overall I missed jokes laughing. I had to see it again because it was so funny.
My negative was I could have done with a little bit less CGI. There was a little bit too much.
Especially,
where it was just we could go a little bit more practical effects on this, can't we? You know, then with some of the leaping around and everything. I was like, okay.
Especially with some of the Hela stuff I noticed.
Yeah, some of the Hela stuff. It's like I would have liked us to slow this down a little bit, have a real camera in there with some real people.
Humans on set.
You know, humans on set kind of a thing.
I loved Hela.
Loved Howard. Oh, she but was amazing. I didn't enjoy Surtur. I thought that that was a throwaway thing for
a bit. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of exactly the tone thing. Like where like moments that you expect gravitas and like you know momentous occasions when they're like meh. Like I don't mind that in the overall scope of the movie, mm-hmm. but there were a couple moments and I don't even know what they'd be, and I'm not anyone to judge. It was overall deserves its $500 million. Like
yes.
I love
yes. it. I saw I it want, three times yeah, for a reason.
All of these
I
things to be with asterisks overall.
This is love the movie.
But very if we're nitpicking, uh-huh. that's a thing that bothered me occasionally. But like. I couldn't believe what they got away with. 10 minutes in, I was like, how did this get made? Like, but by the time he was done talking to Surtur, I was like, what's happening? Like, he's running from a dragon that's got, like, jet propulsion fire and, like, that madness. And I'm like, okay, this is they're going for.
Yeah. This is yeah. Me, I love, one of the relationships I really love was Tessa Thompson and the Hulk.
Yeah.
Hey, aww. Angry lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know you.
Yeah. I love that one. The one thing that kind of got me is, and I'm a fan of it, I love comedy, I love stand-up, I love improv. There were times where the improv dialogue would go way too long. Like yeah. the scene when Mark Ruffalo and Chris Hemsworth are outside, and they're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and then you see Mark Ruffalo almost laugh because mm-hmm. he couldn't help it. Yeah. He got caught, he was like,
and the Hulk scene, too, with him in the bed. Like, yeah, there was a couple, like... And like that's funny in the right context, but in a Marvel movie, I got a little distracted and I didn't expect to. I got yeah. pulled out mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah, but, that was actually a concern of mine going into the movie. It was like, all right, well, we're doing like almost a straight up action comedy, which mm-hmm. I'm excited for, but we haven't done that before. Like, where is this going to go? Because like even Guardians of the Galaxy had like there's something really, really quirky and weird about that franchise, and it has been from the beginning. But Thor was. Here's his origin story. We take it very seriously. Here's a joke or two.
Yeah.
And then Dark World was, this is grim and dour, and there's a couple fun moments.
Loki gets a joke because mischief, but in serious mischief.
Yeah, and then, like, here comes wacky Uncle Thor, you know.
And yet, I think best Thor movie.
But that's three
absolutely.
Different,
oh, absolutely. Right?
That's three different directors as well that you get yep. that. Kenneth Branagh is not going to do anything
no, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
funny.
Kenneth Branagh.
You're thinking of Shakespeare movie.
Speaking of Hamlet?
Yeah.
I want Sir Hamlet? Anthony Hopkins to be there and recite this inscription on Milnor. You know, yeah. you know he's yeah. doing that. And I forgot who directed the second one.
Yeah, Alan Taylor.
Yeah, it's just like, director. Let's do a little bit darker. We're going to go to London. We're going to do some stuff. And Taika Waititi was just like, yo, I'm here. Let's have yeah. fun.
But yeah. speaking of Anthony Hopkins, I loved Anthony mm-hmm. Hopkins playing Loki, playing Odin.
Oh, my yes. God. I got to say, those were all my negatives. The rest, just so positive. Crazy. Matt yeah. Damon.
Dude, I don't know.
I not only the cameo, but since he's the god of cameos, it made it even funnier. Like, Matt Damon cameos in so many weird things. I was unprepared for Matt Damon to ever be in a Marvel movie. And then that cameo as an actor playing Loki. Okay. Like, and then his brother playing... Like,
himself playing like, his yeah. brother.
And freaking, like, Sam Neill as Odin was inspired. Like, that so scene was brilliant.
It was so good.
This might have had the best Easter... Or, not the best, the funniest Easter eggs. Like,
yeah.
like having, like, the Celestials wandering around the background constantly. Like,
yeah.
there were so many Celestials. And the fact that the movie was so weird, Jeff Goldblum felt normal.
Oh, like, yeah.
Jeff Goldblum. Can we talk about Jeff Goldblum?
Peak Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum at peak Goldblum. And everyone else was like, that's pretty standard.
That was Dr. Ian that was Dr. Ian Malcolm Goldblum oh, right yeah. there.
Like, it was fantastic. Just that one part where he's like, oh, he looks like a contender. I have to get closer. And then Topaz pushes him closer. He just starts snapping to
just
a beat.
Snapping by himself.
It's like, yes.
You know when he's DJing in a sense?
Yeah, talking and giving exposition and DJing. Like, what's happening?
They told Jeff Goldblum, look, you got your pajamas on. Come on, set. Because that's the, like, he owns that at home.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. Silk Robe. If he didn't know, he does now.
He does now.
You know Jeff Goldblum walked off set like Deadpool. This, like, he's just is, like, this is mine
this
now.
This is mine.
No,
this is
I'm the grandmaster on weekends.
It would be more, like, it would be more, this is mine.
Accurate.
Accurate.
That will go back to the snap. Full key.
Yes, yeah, we can confirm we got Matt Key back.
Here he is. I loved that there were like a bunch of like there was anus jokes, orgy jokes. Mm-hmm. Like yes. that movie was not for children, or if they just didn't get it because yeah. I was like, how did they sneak in the
yeah.
anus
how they,
jokes?
How did
they snuck in a lot yeah. of those.
Yeah. The comedy was great. Like it was really funny.
Oh, like talking about a Thor and Loki relationship, I bust out laughing and like random times I'll just do it where Thor is talking to the rest of the Revengers mm-hmm. and he's like, yeah, there was this one time where Loki turned himself into a snake and I really like snakes and then I picked it up and then he like changed back and like, oh, he stabbed me. And I'm like, what?
And
my favorite part of that scene was everyone going like, "Whoa!" Like everyone, all the other actors being like, "That's horrible, horrible thing to do." Like, what?
He's a sneaky, but trust him.
The end of that scene was so great because Loki was like.
Yeah,
like he kind of smiled, like a little smile to himself, like that was a pretty good joke.
And the common Easter eggs made for world building we haven't experienced before. There was a Frog Thor reference.
Frog Thor.
There was a man thing on that building. We had Beta Ray Bill.
That's what everybody wants, the Beta Ray Bill one.
The fact that this movie used Kami to build weird things we didn't expect to ever get. Like, I didn't think we'd ever see, like, a Man-Thing reference. But because the movie was so funny, they were able to just put everything in and weird. Like, Frog Thor's canon now, guys.
Yeah, that was my... That was we saw it with Conway the second time. Or the first and second time, actually. And we were like, Frog Thor's canon.
It's real.
That's actual canon. That is cinematic canon now. Frog Thor.
It's magic.
I love the fact when they did, when they were in the Gladiator arena... And Hulk was slamming Thor around, and Loki jumped up. Yeah, yeah, that's what it feels like.
It feels like.
And Loki jumped up. I just really like this.
How about Loki's reaction when he saw Hulk come out? Because remember the last time he saw Hulk, it was him getting smacked
I've
around.
I've never seen anybody that petrified in my life.
That was great.
The scene where he's going through the Disney ride, when he's playing the Willy Wonka music.
Yes.
Like, there was just so much weird, and I loved, and the Stan Lee cameo has to be mentioned. Yeah, like, Stan Lee. Like, a most immersive cameo, because he actually affected our hero. Like,
well, please don't cut my hair, good sir. Please.
Too crazy old man. My hair.
Too crazy old man.
Not to mention, that was like the most Jack Kirby outfit you could put someone in.
Yes,
and
it was.
Stan Lee was like, so like there's an element of like, I mean, Stan Lee knew. Like he saw that, was like, ah, oh, Jack would have loved this outfit, you know? Like you just know that he felt that way about
the Godfathers, you know? Coming together again in that scene is a magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Korg and Meek.
Man, Korg and Meek.
Oh my god.
Shout out to Taika Waititi, who was just hello, you like Doug. Doug died. You're new Doug.
Yeah. You're new Doug.
All right, see you later, new Doug.
Good luck, new Doug.
Good luck, new Doug.
So me and my friends are going to jump in this ginormous spaceship.
You want to come?
You want to come?
It was like all of the things I liked about Dark World with the Loki relationship, plus comedy that I never expected to see, plus like the special effects when they were good were great. That the hammer scene in the opening was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my favorite scenes in a Marvel.
That was amazing.
Like once he was like fully using lightning to take out like the hordes, that was beautiful. Like when it worked, it was top notch. So like overall, this movie is fantastic.
And by the way, let's talk about what my old friend Mark Bernardin referred to as all of the shots that look like they belong on the side of a van in
good
the 70s.
God.
Like that opening shot of Thor flying away from the dragon. I was just like, put that on a van, I will drive it.
The Valkyrie memory when Loki Valkyrie, like that scene.
Oh, that
like,
was beautiful. And it was so gorgeous. The way it was palette, shot, the way it was shot, and then it was like in tragic slow motion, if you know what I mean.
And using Valkyrie as a title was brilliant.
Seeing her face, Tessa Thompson's face, when one of the other Valkyrie were killed, and
which
you saw all
was
that
her girlfriend.
Was her girlfriend?
They cut that scene, which is a bummer.
Yeah, they were supposed to show her actual relationship with it, so they cut it. But you saw her emotion in her face. It was like, okay, I see what you're doing. You get a lot. They gave you a lot instead of just the comedy.
Right.
They gave you emotion and characters. They gave you a lot of backstory without giving you too much backstory.
Yeah, just enough. Like, he was a snake and he changed back and he stabbed me.
And when they did do exposition, it was funny and weird. Like the Jeff Goldblum scene. Whenever they were like, we gotta have some narrative. What if we give Jeff Goldblum a keyboard? Okay. Like, it was always like, let's do that.
Thor and Loki whispering, then all of a sudden he's there like, what are we whispering about?
What are we whispering about?
I was laughing so hard for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I want to talk very briefly about Thor's... You mentioned it a little bit earlier, his character arc from the first film to the second film to this one, where, and I think it's a hugely important one because he started off as this impetuous, thrown to earth, you're exiled from Asgard until you learn how to be a better king, whatever. And now he is self-sacrificing, everything's for Asgard, I haven't been at Asgard because I've been going through the universe and teaching myself how, like... Accidentally so, because I'm doing the right thing, I am learning the skills that I need to be a better Thor and to be a better leader of Asgard when Odin finally goes away. And as we see at the beginning of this movie, Odin goes away.
Yeah.
And now it's up to Thor to be the leader, except never mind, here comes Hela. She's the firstborn. She's actually the leader of Asgard. Go fight her.
Right.
You know, so now like he's got the biggest fight he's ever had thrown onto his shoulders. He gets exiled to a whole other planet. Loses an eye. Loses his Mjolnir, which Korg very...
Oh, I love that.
Like that whole, like... It sounds like you had a very special, intimate relationship with your hammer.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Yes.
And how about the way that they hid when he loses it. Because if you look at the trailers, it looks like he's inside. It looks like he's in Asgard, like in a hallway or something like that. Not in Norway with beautiful, lush green around.
And the cutbacks to Odin when he like needs to summon his power, like the using his father and using that force. I love that arc. I also love that the not leaked trailer, not available online, for the next Infinity War kept his eye.
Yes, like, it did.
You know what I mean? I thought that was so smart. When we see him land on a Guardian ship, which directly leads to the post-credit scene, I love that they didn't reveal that. Because that would have been really distracting in Comic-Con. Like, bruh.
Wait,
like,
hey. So he loses an eye in Ragnarok. Yeah. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. But like one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie was Loki and Thor on the elevator as they're going up to get the ship. And he's like, we should just accept that you are Loki and I am Thor and you should stay here. You would do well on this planet. And then he slaps him on the back because he knows Loki's going to betray him.
And he wouldn't have done that if he didn't have to. I love that he didn't have to, but as soon as he betrayed him, he's like, fuck.
You know one thing we forget? Loki is the reason everything happened.
Yeah.
Because remember, as soon as Odin died, Hela was released.
Yeah.
Hela would have never got to Asgard if Loki wouldn't have told him, open up the Bifrost and send us back.
He panicked.
Yeah.
He
panicked. That's Loki's fault every time. Loki banished Odin. Loki got called back. Like, Loki is the problem, but it's still Loki. It's still your brother. It's still like, and Tom Hiddleston inspired casting all those years ago. You can't hate Tom Hiddleston. No. It's impossible.
So, let's talk giant super spoiler. Though before we do that, oh my god, Doctor Strange scene was amazing.
I've been falling for 30 minutes.
I was like, that's what Doctor Strange.
One of the best lines. Fine. I love that line.
I was like,
that was so great.
Thor's like, I'm about to go. Let me call my hammer. And all you hear is the hammer just break. He was like,
sorry.
All those artifacts that Matt knows got broken. I just, I pictured you in that scene as being like,
oh, don't
the sanctum,
not the orb of Akamoto.
What about that? What about that one that he was playing with at the beginning?
I have like, no idea what that one was. Yeah, like, I think that's like just a fun looking artifact.
I kept assuming that was important. Like, I kept being like, I bet Matt knows how upsetting this is.
I think they got that at Pottery Barn.
Fair enough. Tyke had definitely had that in his house.
Yeah.
Brother needs to play.
Speaking of, did you see the interview about
the shake weight?
The shake weight?
Yes.
No, I didn't see the interview.
It's a DC reference. It's a crossover to Green Lantern.
Really? Because he was in Green Lantern.
Okay.
And he didn't have a lot of screen time, but he was on set, so he had a lot of free time, and he saw an advertisement for the shake weight while he was on set.
And bought one?
And bought one. He was like, I guess this is what I do now. And he bought a shake weight. As far as I know, he never really used it, but the shake weight that Scourge is using was the one he bought in Green Lantern.
So, in my brain canon, Deadpool's best friend bought a shake weight, then directed a movie starring Thor, put himself in it, and had Scourge play with the item that Deadpool got him earlier in canon.
Said it three times fast.
And speaking of Scourge.
Scourge.
Fact that he got to destroy. But, like, that is iconic executioner. Like, read Walt Simonson's run on Ragnarok. It's a fantastic Thor.
Scourge's last stand.
Seminal Thor comic reading.
And using that frame, like using the exact shot.
They used the perfect shot.
Like, and it was such a good, it's so redemptive for him. It's such a good moment.
Yeah.
But the big reveal at the end, first of all, the Infinity Gauntlet in Odin's vault,
fake.
That was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Retroactively fixing one of the biggest plot holes in all of Marvel.
Yeah. I love how she just kind of like...
I mean, everybody in my theater I saw, they were like, wait, what? It was like,
did you notice the scale of it? It was half her size.
Yes, it was. Because Thanos is twice like
the how fun. So, what were you going
to
say?
You know, because like Loki went down there to throw Surtur's, you know, skull into the and he saw the Tesseract.
That's where I was leading.
He grabbed that.
Yeah, you know that. Loki's got
I'd grab that.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I already know what this is. Let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah. That's how it gets off Asgard. That's why it's not destroyed. Loki's got that right now.
Yeah, well.
And he gives it to...
Why Thanos' ship shows up in the end?
Oh, 100%.
I think so.
You know he made that phone call, used his Roman menace?
Of course.
You know what used his Roman menace was like? Hey,
it's not happened. Through space.
So, listen. I know I messed up in like 8-10 movies ago, but I got you.
All right. We've got to start closing this up, but I did want to bring up just the end with Korg. where he's like, Meek, where do you want to go? Where are you from? Oh, Meek's dead.
Meek's dead.
No, I stepped on him on the ship. He's dead. He's been dead for a while. I just kind of didn't know what to do with him.
And he's like,
Meek's alive! Meek's alive, everybody!
What's the question again?
What's the question again? Like, the best comedy moment to end on. Like, it was so great.
Oh, I think it was fantastic.
The moment that I'm surprised by most was the killing of the Warriors 2 of 3.
Yep. Killed the Warriors 3. They killed, was it Volstagg and...
Volstagg, yeah. Fandral, and
right away!
And Shazam. They killed Shazam and
they can't dodge a knife?
But they left Lady Sif alive in a sense.
Well, that's because Jamie Alexander couldn't make her schedule work.
I also feel like Jamie Alexander was like a highlight of all the Thors, so they better use her in Infinity War. If anyone shows up, I want Jamie Alexander too.
She was great.
Yeah, she's our Wonder Woman.
But they can't dodge a knife?
No, not at all.
After all of this, she is literal
death. Her knife's right.
I mean, I like that Hogan, brought it until he wasn't.
Yeah. Fandral was like, Zachary Levi was in the background, was just like, well, this is...
I gotta go get workouts for Shazam, I gotta go get some pop-up.
I gotta be Captain Marvel. Sorry, guys.
I also think that Death is Lady Death. I think Thanos.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Thanos is going to court Hela because she's not dead.
No.
Yeah. I think Thanos goes after Hela. Like, I don't know.
That's why he's doing it. But that's supposed to be the entire reason he does everything. He's courting Death.
Right. I think that they're not going to use a new Death. They're going to use her as the goddess of Death. That's what I think. Cate Blanchett.
So, that's something for Mary Marvelites.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, no, we should read that. But we do need to bring our Thor discussion to an end. Oh, sadly, well. I love you all, but we have to stop talking about
online.
It
because
we need
Tweet
to move
us.
Online. Yeah. Baby Hulk. I want to, like, that part where he goes, like, one of my favorite moments. All right. Moving on. Mary Marvel, let's take us through it. We've
it's
got
like, Earth does hate you.
Mark, you want to take us through the Mary Marvelites here, Mark here?
Sure. Glorious Greg at XG Hilly 929, Work in Progress at Von 115, Jenny M at Jennifer Moore 3, Ashley Houchins. At Ashley Houchins, Rita Pierce at Rita Pierce 94, Shane Blakely at Cancer Sticks 1, Nathan Ramirez at Ramirez Nathan 77, Adriana M at Chaotic 86, G at Simple Texas Man, and then Billy at Beeping Goat 22. So hey everyone, my name is Billy. I've been watching the Marvel News for over a year now, and it's what I look forward to every Tuesday. And I've been going back and watching all the podcasts from the very beginning. Anyway, my birthday is tomorrow. I turn 21, but I won't be drinking because. I'm Mormon, but that won't stop me from asking if I could get a seamless, sexy birthday shout out from Coy, Matt, and Markia. You guys are awesome. This is my dream someday to have the honor of sitting on the cosmic couch.
That's a great message. What a great message.
Appreciate
all right.
Yeah.
How do we do it?
Feel free to jump into it. Well, seamless, sexy. Is also like seamless. A callback
birthday.
To like.
Because he's 21.
So
that's true. Yeah.
All right. I'll provide the music.
Please.
Deterrent.
21 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a special age.
Oh, it's a big old birthday.
You don't have to drink for us to be intoxicated
you
by your
have a happy time
beeping
a
goat.
Of
yeah, no and lubrication necessary.
I think,
liquid lubrication.
You're too young for me to make some of these jokes because I'm hearing some lube talk. But
all right, I was gonna do that
because people call alcohol that.
Oh, yeah, but that kind of lube.
Okay.
But he's 21. When we're talking sexy and lube comes up,
all right,
21-year-olds come up, I get
and
comfortable.
It's seamless.
But, happy birthday, Billy.
All right, enjoy yourself. It's got very awkward. It's got sexy and real PG-13.
All right,
happy birthday.
Yes. I meant alcohol.
It makes sense.
In like whiskey.
In hindsight, when we say that.
I heard sexy. She's like, lube. And I was like, I don't know where this is going.
You didn't hear me just go, what?
That wasn't it at all.
Well, Billy, I hope you enjoyed that.
Billy, he's in the chat. He's loving it. He says, thank you guys. You guys are so amazing. That was honestly the best, sexiest shout out I've ever heard.
Oh, so you'd say it was seamless.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Seamless.
You could say that. You could say that.
So we had a poll on Marvel Movie News for who was your favorite character in Thor Ragnarok, but it can't be Thor or Hulk. And 45% said Korg.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody said that.
27% easily. Was for Valkyrie, 16% Loki, and 12% Hela. That's all how right. it ended up.
All of them are great. They were all great. Those are all good choices. But man, Korg, even my niece and nephew are like, oh, we love Korg. And I was like, you're 10. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I forgot to mention my favorite moment briefly. When they reference all the time Hulk jumps out of planes. And in this time, he just thuds on a... I I love that moment. I think about that moment all the time. Like that, like the timing, him coming, like it was perfect.
Well, and the framing of the shot where it's just like
it splats,
splat,
and just the tiniest little banner splatting in front of it. Like, oh god!
And everyone's just like, oh,
the wolf
what?
Just comes. Like,
yeah,
beautiful. Sorry, I had to mention that.
Okay, keep going, Markia.
Aaron Wilkerson at Aaron Wilk. Does Thor Ragnarok set up a potential female Thor in the next installment? Current Thor becomes Odin, leaves open spot for Lady Thor.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. I've heard that we're talking about.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Natalie Portman.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to be.
She broke up with him. It's canon.
Yeah, so
you know,
it was a mutual breakup.
Mutual breakup.
And there's a lot of Thors.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes,
there are. I mean, we could go the Angela route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, we could have that.
And Valkyrie's already there.
Yeah,
I mean,
Valkyrie
we could definitely
be
have like that her involvement. It's not definitely. Like, I think she's perfect.
Somebody can drop a kid on Thor. All of a sudden, he got a daughter out of nowhere. We can get Taryn out of nowhere.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thor. Maury Povich, Thor.
Yeah, you know, Thor's been spreading his seed around the universe.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Remember, he was reckless. Remember, he was reckless at first. So we don't. It's been all this time.
And think about it real quick. If we had Angela, there'd be like another sister. Their immediate reaction would be like,
and that would tie into Guardians well.
It certainly would.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, so Ashley Houchins, love Thor Ragnarok! Exclamation point. Where do you guys see the Thor franchise going forward? Appears to be rejuvenated to me. I think we kind of answered that.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, I definitely think they're probably going to do a Thor 4. I think that this was a linchpin moment for Hemsworth. Like, if this didn't work, he would be like, all right, cool, I'm done. But the fact that this worked, it worked as well as it did, is being received as critically as it is. I think that this is a big moment for that franchise in terms of moving forward. But I think that they're going to change direction, go a different place. Taika Waititi will come back for a fourth film.
That's what I was going to say. I think he's sticking with it. And it's full Hemsworth now.
Yep.
Like at this point, he gets to just be. And someone said, Lady Thor, why not get Emily Blunt? A shout out to the Blunt Train. That's right, Charles Lee, the Blunt Train lives on.
anything else?
No.
Right. I want to briefly talk about Bendis. Because this is important to me because I love Brian Michael Bendis and I think he's brilliant. I think the reason the MCU is what it is Bendis. I read everything he does. But I think he's going to have more fun at DC because I think he's done a lot at Marvel. He's done event comics. He's done individual comics. He's done team comics.
Alias.
I think he gets a chance. I mean, Jessica Jones is 100%. Like, I think he's going to have more fun at DC. I think because it's new. It's different. Like, you're going to get stagnant after 15 years of anything.
And then plus, think about it. I mean, he's done so much for Marvel. It's like, great, go do some awesome stuff for DC.
You can't be mad. You can't be upset.
I can't wait to buy a Bendis DC book. I can't wait to see what he does to characters I love but don't know. Like, I don't know as much about them as I knew, obviously, Spider-Man and stuff. So I can't wait to see Bendis, like, do his magic for a world that I love but don't get to, like, read a lot.
Yeah,
so,
go do something with Vixen, Bendis.
Yeah, you know, like, so I'm not saying he wasn't happy at Marvel. I'm just saying I think it's time for him to mix it up, and I think it's great. So a lot of people in the live chat have been talking about it. I think it's fantastic, personally.
Same.
Yeah. No, I'm all about it. Let's spread the nerd. Nerd around.
Yeah.
You can't be mad at somebody who's giving you 15 years worth of gold. You can't be upset at that.
Thanks for bringing our childhood back. Now
go
have fun.
Go have go do something for you.
And the DC films now have a great asset in Bendis. Like the Whedon Bendis combo, those movies are going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's going to really flesh it out. It's going to be exciting to see what they come up with.
Agreed. All right. Is there anything from the chat? Anything else? Because we need to start wrapping it up.
Yeah. Guys, you did not mention the Soul Stone. Is that going to be in Black Panther?
Oh, that's in Black Panther.
Okay. Yeah. So question is answered.
Well, here's real quick. Because originally Idris Elba was done.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, he was done because they weren't doing anything with him.
Ooh.
So they were going to kill him off originally in Ragnarok, and that's where the Soul Stone was going to be. Because now he's having fun again, they gave him dreadlocks. He got to run around and do things.
Rebel Elba.
Now it's officially in Wakanda.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And that was like, I love that they finally realized they cast Idris Elba. They were like, hey, we have this guy as Heimdall. You've got Idris Elba as Heimdall. Use that man. Like, he's James Bond. Utilize it.
But all he was doing was like, I'm not supposed to disobey my lord. Right this way.
Like, this movie's got a sword. He's like saving people. You're like Lord of the Rings in. Like, I love that.
Yeah, Rebel Elba, dude. I fell in love. I was like,
so happy.
So good.
Every frame of him was like, this movie. I want that movie. I'll take a Heimdall movie tomorrow.
He's been wanting to do.
Yeah.
He hadn't really done anything.
Yeah. Like, utilize him.
Well, and like Wakanda, like their whole thing is like, they're very, very spiritual people, you know?
Yes.
So like having a soul stone, having the soul stone that's been there for years, all that stuff.
It does make sense. And then of course, that's why Cole Obsidian, you know, gets down there to get that butt beat.
Yeah, they butt beat. All right. We need anything else? Because we need to wrap.
No. Take it.
Yeah. All right. This has been a very special show for me, and I'm sorry if I've been a little loopy. This is my last show for a while. Geek and Sundry is my new job. They are very demanding. In the best way. I don't mean that they came out wrong.
They're demanding. They're angry. Matt is just like, our fans are awful. New job, the worst.
They are beating me to shame.
I mean, in all honesty, this is not an easy thing for me to walk away from. I've been fighting it for the last month now. And finally last week, it really just hit hard where, how unfair it's been to you guys to just every week be like, still can't do it. Sorry. Keep taking it. Keep improvising with, like, it's not fair to do that to you guys. So I have to do the right thing and step away. Think of it as a sabbatical with indefinite leave, because I've been doing the show for 3 years. Like of everyone here, I'm the only original person here, you know. Like, I created this, like, when Christian Harloff and the Schmoes were here, like, this is my show that I created with them, you know. Mm-hmm. 155 episodes. We thought we would go for no more than 6 months, and it's 3 years now. Like, we were like, oh cool, we'll be lucky to get to 20 episodes with this, and here we are. So
three phases of Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, like, it's really insane what we've been able to do with this show, and it really sucks to walk away. I don't want to. I fought it, and I think it says a lot that a show that takes a lot of my time and does not pay me, like, I'm still having a hard time walking away from, because I love this. I love you guys. I love the audience. I love the subject. Like, I'm passionate about this, and we have a lot of, like, the stuff on iTunes. We had that one listener who started a comic book club because she saw that other nerds exist, and it's like, I can't walk away from that, like, you know. But unfortunately I have to, you know, I have to be responsible, I have to be an adult, and I have to do the right thing from time to time. So I do have to step away from the show in a sabbatical sense.
If sometime in the future there's ever a time that you've got that hour free on a Tuesday, mm-hmm. then yeah, we're here. You know, absolutely.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
No matter what,
even
if you aren't here, you will always be here.
Oh yeah, Astral Plane Matt Key lives on. Yeah. That's not Doctor Strange anymore. That's just Matt.
This is Matt Key.
Look at that hair. We know.
I know.
Yeah, Doom made sure to bring his. He said, "Well, it's your last day. Bring my mask in so that I can be there for it," because he couldn't be here because he's got Geek and Sundry stuff too. But this has not been an easy decision. It's not been an easy thing for me to do. I love the show. The show has gotten me a lot. Like, like we all were like, ah, it's free, meh. But, like, this helped me get a job at Screen Junkies with Kevin Smith. It helped me get this thing that I'm doing at Geek and Sundry now. Like, mm-hmm. I get to do a comic book show every Wednesday night and talk about comic books on top of the show that I've been doing here. And that's invaluable. You know, that's not a money thing. I hate having to leave, and I hate having to leave the audience, but I'm still on Twitter. You can still ask me your questions, and now that I have a desk, I'm better at social mediaing.
It's crazy.
Nice.
He's even got an Instagram, guys.
Yeah.
He sometimes even opens it.
But I hope that you, the audience, listening and watching and everything, know, like, from the deepest sincerity of my heart, I love you. I really, really do. And I don't want to leave, but I have to. So, thanks for being awesome hosts. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being my last guest. Thanks for being an incredible associate producer who saved my skin for an entire year. And I love you. That's been our show.